and welcome to Echoes from the Shore, Lessons from Diverse Marine Values, a new podcast from the Diverse Marine Values Project, funded by the Sustainable Management of Marine Resources Programme. For 3 years, the Diverse Marine Values team has been exploring the many ways people value the sea and how these values can be integrated more fully in marine management in the UK. This podcast will give you hints and tips about how to use a diverse suite of methods to understand the relationship between people in the ocean, coast and sea. You'll be hearing about some of the insights, challenges and findings that the team has uncovered, with lessons for you to use these methods in your own research and practice. We hope this podcast series can help to develop capacity across the UK's marine research community and foster new pathways for inclusion of diverse values within marine policy. I'm Dr. Emma McKinley, a senior research fellow at Cardiff University.
And I'm Dr. Victoria Leslie, a research fellow at the University of Portsmouth. And in each episode, we'll be initiating a conversation with researchers from the Diverse Marine Values team to understand more about working on this unique project.
In this episode, we're joined by Professor Tim Acott and Dr. Victoria Leslie, who are going to talk to us a bit about the work they've been doing using PhotoAssay. Hi, both.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you. Victoria, could I ask you to introduce yourself first, please, and tell us a little bit about your role in the project?
Sure. So I'm a research fellow at the University of Portsmouth. I've been working primarily on the arts-based approaches, which have included working on the community voice method and the photo essay, which you'll hear a little bit about in a bit. I've also been involved in curating an exhibition we had very recently, which was about assembling all of the arts-based approaches we had into one space.
Great. Thanks, Victoria. And Tim, could you do the same, please?
Hi, yeah, I'm a professor in human geography at the University of Greenwich. I'm the co-lead for the Diverse Marine Values Project, but I've also worked on the photo essay as well. So that's been my main kind of contribution to the work packages in terms of the creative outputs.
Great, thanks. So you've both referenced the photo essay, and that's what this episode is going to be talking about. The series has been exploring the different methods that have been used throughout the Diverse Marine Values Project, and this is quite an unusual one, I think, and so it'll be really interesting to talk to you both about how you've been involved in that and how you've designed it together. Could you tell us a little bit about photo essay as a methodology? How does it work? How is that concept, has that approach been used within the Diverse Marine Values Project?
Sure, shall I? I'll start with that. Okay. So the idea of the including the photo essay in the project is it is an approach that doesn't sit within a normal social science way of working, I would say. So a lot of the other approaches that we've used have been, for instance, about elicitation and about community engagements in some sort. But what we wanted to do was have a creative approach that wasn't about the engagement of people in the first instance. It was about producing an artwork or a series of artworks that would then subsequently be used to engage people. So it's not in the production of the artwork that you're engaging people. You produce the artwork and then you engage people either in an exhibition or through the web, etc. So it was a way of ensuring in the broader Diverse Marine Values Project, we had a diversity of approaches, a diversity of creative approaches, because we often talk about arts-based approaches. But there isn't just one arts-based approach. There's a whole range of different arts-based approaches. And we wanted to ensure that we had that sort of diversity within the project.
And how did you use the photo essays throughout the three communities, the three test sites that we've been working in?
So the way the process, obviously, I was taking the photographs, and Victoria was writing the accompanying narrative. And so we can perhaps talk a little bit about how that process worked and in just a bit. But in terms of the photographs, then an important part of the Diverse Marine Values was the idea of sense of place, was the idea of place identity, was the idea about the different relations that exist in a place. So what we wanted to use the photo essay for was to try and be able to look at these different case study areas, so the Shetland Islands, the Wye catchment, and the seawall, the sea defences around Portsmouth, but through a sort of creative photographic and written textual lens to try and sort of draw out those, I suppose, those images of place that might not be familiar, that, that might communicate a particular type of relationality, that might say something about a place that might not be immediately obvious. When I've done this sort of thing in the past, I've had some people come up to me in exhibitions saying, "Oh, I've lived somewhere for 30 years, but I've never looked at it in that way." And I think by turning a kind of a photographic lens onto something, because I don't live in these places, I wasn't a local, but you can sometimes see and reveal things in ways that are not immediately obvious. And that was part of what we were trying to do, to try to get at this idea of place identity, the sort of local values associated with the aesthetics of a place, and to try and sort of see that through a slightly different lens.
I was just going to add that a lot of the values that we're looking at or have been trying to focus on throughout the project have been intangible, which have been sometimes difficult to kind of articulate or to show, and in a way even kind of hard to visualise. And what Tim's photography kind of allowed was to kind of frame values, or to present them as provocations for people who came to the exhibition to consider their own values. And I think that was really important, that the photographs operated almost as a visual springboard for discussions around values.
I think that's exactly right. So it was a way of producing a series of artworks that people could respond to, and that gets us into the realm of, we're not just eliciting values from people, we're creating safe spaces, I think, around which conversations around value and importance and place can occur. And that's one of the values, I would say, of doing the photo essay. You can create that, if you like, that discursive environment that people can then reflect on their own values and on their own feelings. And certainly in the exhibition we had at the Diverse Marine Values Conference, we had a number of people coming up to us and sort of say, "Oh yeah, I saw that photograph and it made me think of such and such." And I think that that's one of the values of a photo essay. It's a springboard for having those conversations and those discussions and that exploration of intangible values, as Victoria said.
You have both alluded to the process of creating a photo essay. Could you maybe choose one particular image that you selected, that you took through the photo essay, and talk through the process of creating that? What was the kind of... yeah, what are the steps taken to develop and select that image and tell that story?
Okay, I'd like to, I think, tell that story with reference. I mean, we're here talking about coastal marine values and coastal scapes, etc. And I'd like to tell that story with reference to an image that I took for the Wye catchment area. So the case study for the Wye catchment was all about catchment to coast. It was about trying to think to connect the ocean sort of through a river up to the catchment, and think about not just the normal kind, to challenge, I suppose, a little bit about what we think about coastal communities and how we think about the coast. And so that was my brief, almost, if you like. And then once you start looking, so the first thing I would do is start looking at maps of the area of the Wye catchment. And as you start looking at maps of the Wye catchment, you see that the upper parts of the Wye catchment are actually in the hyper-oceanic climate belt. And that's because of the amount of rainfall they receive from the Atlantic, from the rainfall coming off the sea, and sort of dumping itself on that west coast. And you can see this happening all the way up the west coast of the UK. Now, obviously, this creates particular habitats, and in particular, a lot of people have heard in the news about Atlantic rainforests. And so in the Wye catchment, in the upper reach of the Wye catchment, there are small fragments of Atlantic rainforest. And so that was the process that stimulated me then to travel to that area and to try and find fragments of rainforest. And so I found this lovely twisted oak tree that was all covered in mosses and lichens, etc. And to take that picture that could then be situated in the photo essay, talking about that connection of climate and about how the rivers sort of go from the upper reaches of the mountains down to the sea. But in that, then, we can also start to reflect on how in a lot of the upper reaches of the catchment, you've got dominated by sheep grazing. You're actually seeing the removal of forests in those areas. And so suddenly we had different connections starting to emerge from this one photograph. And I think that's where, for me, the value of the photo essay really stands out, is you can use it to create an immediate empathy reaction in people to a picture, hopefully thinking, wow, that's a stunning picture. But then this kind of story behind that can start to emerge, and we can start to see different ways of making a connection between the catchment, the woodlands, the coast, and how that sort of hydrological cycle operates. And indeed, that whole photo essay was really about the hydrological cycle and about the way that people are intersecting with that at different points. So that was something about the process that led to that particular image, I suppose.
And what you've really, I think, articulated really beautifully in your response is the complexity that can be illustrated by one image, and that those multiple layers and those multiple stories that can be represented by a single photograph, and how it can mean different things and show different things to different people depending on your own worldview, your own understanding of that photograph.
I think that's exactly right. So we had a long conversation about should we try and, because what you can do with an image, you can try and anchor the meaning of an image by using text underneath it. So if you want a particular message or a particular story to come out, but we actually decided in the exhibition not to do that. We've done it more in the photo essay that's produced in the on the web, but we wanted to let the images speak for themselves and allow an inter. And this is sharing discipline. I wouldn't have had the courage to do that. I wanted to anchor all the images with these stories, but actually I had conversations with Victoria and others. So, well, no, actually you've got to leave space for people to bring their own values and see their own values reflected in that image, use the image almost more like a mirror, I suppose. And so that was a real learning experience for me. So you're right, one image can be used in multiple different ways depending upon how it's presented, the context it comes in, and whether you want to try and anchor it to a particular meaning or actually just leave it a bit more open.
And Victoria, Tim has talked about the story and the words and the text that could go alongside those images, and mentioned that within the photo essay itself, that those, that narrative is alongside that. And you, of course, were the writer of that narrative. Could you tell us a little bit about the creation of those stories and your process for, I guess, you know, writing the narrative and ensuring that it aligned with the images and created this whole storyline?
Yeah, Tim and I were both working in the field at the same time, which was very handy. So I was there at the time, before I embarked upon photo essay, to do the community voice method. So I was able to kind of witness Tim's practice as well. And I mean, there's a lot of patience that goes into every photograph that Tim takes in order to get the light just right, or to find the, you know, right composition. And that also allowed a lot of time for me to have contemplation space in the same location. So I suppose immediately I was writing in the field in the same way that Tim was photographing in the field. And then obviously later I was able to look at the photographs he produced and then write from that. And we had a lot of discussion when we were developing the photo essay about the way we could collaborate with each other, and whether I should be using the photographs as a kind of stepping stone for the prose, or whether the text should be a stepping stone for maybe Tim's curation, because Tim produced a lot of images for the photography component. So then trying to select those is also quite a mean feat. Mm. So, but in the end, it kind of became quite organic, didn't it? So I ended up referring to Tim's photographs for my own initial writing, and then I think my text informed some of Tim's decisions about how to take the photo in his selection of which photographs to kind of take forward. So it became almost like a conversation between both of us in terms of our practice and how we work together. Would you say?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I'd also just add to that as well. There was that element of working in the field, and you, for instance, introduced me to locations I wouldn't have known about. And again, that provided, if you like, a bit of an anchor into that place, and sort of both in particularly in Shetland and in Portsmouth. And then that was, if you like, a starting point for that kind of creative reflections about, okay, so now I understand this place exists. We can start looking at this now with a particular kind of creative eye around that. And I mean, you took me to a fantastic location, Featherland in Shetland, when we had the old kind of crumbling fishing station, and with all the kind of cliffs around it, and very kind of isolated. And that was just an absolute dream to be working at. So I think that, yeah, we did work collaboratively all the way through, from sort of site selection, image, text production, curation of the images, and yeah.
And you've both talked a little bit about how, you know, the images were produced, the photo essay was produced to allow for conversations to happen, for people to draw their own values out of them or around them or about them. But was there anything that inspired you to, you know, look at particular places? I mean, Tim, you mentioned that you were looking at the catchment to coast idea for the why. Were there any stories or folklore or things that you knew about the other communities, the other test sites, that you were interested in trying to capture in the photo essay itself?
I think probably the one example that springs to mind in terms of the stories of the community, what was the fishing station in Shetland, actually. I thought that was one of the most evocative locations I went to, where you sort of walk down. So it's quite a long walk to get to. It's probably at least an hour and a half, 2 hours walk to actually get to the place. And then when you get there, you're kind of confronted with the buildings in various states of ruin and disrepair. So for me, it was about that whole story then of the fishing community and of the changing practice and of the ruination that's happening to the buildings, and about how they're kind of been, to some extent, they're going sort of back into nature as they collapse. But then there's also some preservation work going on there that's keeping them in that particular state. So I wanted to try and get a picture that talked about that spoke to that kind of to that story, and I was particularly pleased with the picture we ended up. It took a whole day to find the right composition. So I think probably took about, I don't know, probably about 250 photographs that day at different positions, all in different places. And then it was at the final bit of the day where I was walking up this hillside one last time. And I sort of turned around, and suddenly there's just this panorama just opened up. And I thought, that's it. And the clouds were right, the light was right, and it was just, and it was a four-picture panorama. And yeah, so that was like sort of 12 hours, 13 hours work, and got that one picture, and that was it. So that was really good. But that was all driven really by the story, I think, that you'd told me about that community and about the fishing operations in that area.
And it also really linked back to the themes of a test site areas as well. So when we began work in each of the locations, working with our test site leads, we kind of needed to anchor all of our methods to particular themes or issues that were going on in the locations. And Shetland became all about transition and about change, but also about memory and about some of the things that don't change. And so we were kind of really, in lots of the different methods we were using, trying to think about that framing. And so Featherland was a perfect example, really, because it was an old fishing practice that had, you know, that was gone. But at the same time, it was this fleeting summer period where fish folk would go down and would be based at the fishing station for to go out and fish in the half. So I became very interested in that kind of practice and learning about that. And that became the first section, actually, of the Shetland narrative. So I think it had an impact on both of us. Whereas in Portsmouth, the theme there was much more about shoreline management. And so a lot of Tim's images reflected the seawall. And then I became very interested in the kind of parameters of a city. So I think also we were trying to be conscious of the test site themes, as well as the things that sparked us as creatives.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And two ideas, I suppose, that I started exploring as a result of conversations with Victoria and the test site themes. And one is thinking about the agency of a seawall. So a seawall can have agency. It influences how people respond. It influences where buildings can get put. It influences people's view as they walk along it. It influences our connection with the sea. So I was really interested to think about seawall as agency, both in terms of what's inside and what's outside. So that was super interesting. And then also on the why, thinking about the why as an active agent, to think about the agency of the River Wye and how that's changed over time. So we kind of go back a sort of few hundred years and we see the birth of a sort of picturesque tourism in the Wye, and the river allowing that to happen, and then the trade that the River Wye happened. And now, you know, the River Wye isn't used so much for trade, but it's now very important for health, leisure and well-being. So I'm really intrigued the way these non-human elements of the environment can actually have active agency, and I think we can use something like a photo essay to explore those relationships. Can't go and measure it. You can't go and, you know, so that was part of the point of having the photo essay as part of the diverse marine values, was to allow the exploration of different types of relations and relationships.
That's a really interesting aspect of the project that I think we have perhaps not explored that much, is this idea of the more than human or the non-human and the values and agency associated with those as components of a whole system, and having value kind of inherent within them. And I think we're really seeing a growth in the research and the consideration of how we integrate that into policy and decision making. So what are the rights of the more than human or the non-human? And what role do you think photo essay and perhaps kind of the more creative methods that we've and creative approaches that we've been using more generally have in developing that area of work further? I mean, it's really something that we're starting to see more and more as we talk about sustainable ocean futures and who in inverted commas is included within that, including that, yeah, the river, the water system. So yeah, what do you think the role is of the work that you've both been doing in the project and fitting into that?
I think that creative approaches allows us to be able to start to explore our relationships with environments in different ways. It's not just a way, it's not just about measuring, it's not just about doing a survey, it's not about kind of counting. And so creative approaches, there isn't just one way you can do this. There's just so many different ways that the creative arts can be used. You can be used to do this, but they can start to present environment and people and nature relationships in different ways. So they can start to open up our thinking and our understanding about how we understand nature in relation to ourselves, how we understand nature in relation to nature, and I think from that, you can see different ethical relationships emerge. You can see people's empathy to different parts of the environment change, and perhaps even people's caring and responsibility to the environment can change. If we're not just seeing, I hate to say it, but we're not just seeing the environment in terms of the services it can provide to us, that we're actually part of this more than human world in a way that is just intimately connected and complicated. And I suppose then the creative arts can provide different ways, different visioning, different opportunities for visioning those relationships. And I think that's incredibly powerful. I think the slight problem here is that currently institutions don't really have the mechanisms for taking a lot of that into account, because the values within which institutions work institutions have their own internal values that they're working within, and those values often don't allow that more kind of creative exploration to happen.
Just to pick up on what Tim said about the role of arts-based approaches to allow us to vision or to see, I suppose in lots of the methods that we've used, there's been a real attention to observation or to spending time and listening or looking. And also sometimes that can produce really surprising results. And I was just thinking about the wonderful photograph you took of a kingfisher in a very urban area in Portsmouth. You perhaps wouldn't expect to see a kingfisher there. But, you know, if you look hard enough, there's amazing nature all around you. And I think Tim's photography focused a lot, not on people, but on the more than human. Perhaps because some of our other arts-based methods were focusing on more participatory coastal community conversations. So it was quite nice to put the more than human kind of in the frame, literally, so that people could really consider those relationships.
Absolutely. I mean, the photography is notable because there aren't many people in it, but that was a very deliberate aspect because all the other approaches had people front and center. And so we wanted the photography to represent that more environmental, more than human aspect. But I think it also raises a question about knowledge and how do we have knowledge of our relationships, of our understanding with nature. And I think that has potential implications for how we think about ocean literacy, among other things, and the different types of way that we approach knowledge about that. And I think things like photo essays have an important contribution to make.
Fantastic. Thank you both. Victoria, could you tell us a little bit about the exhibition that you curated, please?
Yeah, so the exhibition was a bit of a challenge because we had so many different arts approaches, plus the ocean literacy dimension and decision making that we wanted to house in the same physical space. We also wanted to draw upon all of our reflections, hence why we called it Echoes from the Shore. But also we wanted to signify how we wanted it to be forward-looking, which is why we also called the exhibition New Horizons in Marine Management. So we wanted to kind of cover this idea that by reflecting on some of the approaches that we've used, we could think about maybe changing some of the approaches and ways that we think about integrating diverse values in the researcher and practitioner community. So we had a bit of a challenge trying to get all of those different, or try to showcase some of those, our approaches. So it was very method-based. We decided we wanted to showcase the methods we used. And some of our methods weren't output-led, they were process-led. So we wanted to make sure that we encapsulated those processes. So we had lots of different media, we had lots of different things to display. And we decided we wanted to try and pull that together almost for a journey through the exhibition. It was very handy having so much photography content, which provided this visual element. But then we also had the CVM films, the digital stories that were produced that viewers could come along, visitors to the exhibition could come along and listen and see a film as well. And in terms of the photo essay, we spend a lot of time again thinking about how we were going to curate that. A lot of the text I write, or I kind of ended up favouring, was kind of much more a kind of continuous prose piece, whereas Tim's photographs, we didn't know whether we should include them, as Tim mentioned, as captions in fragments. And we decided to kind of steer away from that and instead point people towards the website to show that. So we had lots of like many decisions to make. And then we ended up deciding to frame the photographs. But maybe you should talk about that, Tim, in the way you decided to thematically kind of group the photographs.
Yeah, well, that was that was a whole other challenge. But I think that as we started to lay out the photographs in the exhibition, it started to become obvious that we weren't going to try and organise them by case study sites. That was the first big decision that was made. And actually there was something that was judgments I think were made more on an aesthetic basis and about thinking about how different photographs kind of led to each other. And I think the value of that was it felt a much more kind of organic process of looking at the photographs. You weren't just looking at photographs in Shetlands, or you were kind of moving from a photograph in Portsmouth of a seawall to another, it might have been a building in a landscape on the Wye catchment. So it was the construction of a building that was the link, rather than it being place based. So I think that was an important element in terms of that curation and thinking about how those photographs got laid out. But that was really another part of that kind of creative process that I was leaning heavily on Victoria's expertise at that point, because that really kind of helped me present the photographs in a way perhaps I wouldn't have thought about before, which I was, yeah, it was really exciting. It was really good.
There's been a lot of talk about how you've learned from each other working together throughout this conversation. With that in mind, and as you kind of come to the end of the episode, what would your advice be for somebody who maybe wanted to use photo essay as a methodology, or just embrace photography and narrative as a way of eliciting and exploring and understanding different values? How would you advise them to go about that? What would your hints and tips be?
I really keep going back to the fact that being in the field together, being in the locations together, was a really important. And also, I should say, we were actually at the time working with other researchers as well. So there was a group of us that went out, and we were all kind of working on our separate parts of our project. But actually, through the process of being in the same location at the same time, they became much more integrated. We were seeing ourselves learning from each other's methods and approaches. And I think having that time to develop ideas together and to be exposed to each other's methods, I think really heavily informed the way I saw my practice develop on the project.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I'd also say that there isn't any one way you go about doing a photo essay. I mean, I leant heavily on the genre of landscape photography. You could equally lean on portrait photography, urban photography. You could do it a number of different ways. So I think, you know, there isn't kind of one way. All I think from my perspective, and the way what worked for me was allowing the photographs to emerge from the encounter with the place and the conversations with Victoria, and to be open. So I didn't go with a rigid set plan, and I allowed the place to try and speak through the photographs and through the kind of conversations that we were having, rather than try and impose and think, oh, right, it's a coastal essay, I've got to go and get some pictures of the beach and people playing on the beach. Or, you know, I wanted something where it was the place and the lighting and the textures and the patterns all were allowed to kind of speak through the camera. And in so doing, that I was trying not to go with preconceived ideas into those places.
Thank you both. I mean, we've really seen those themes of being brave, being open, and actively listening to not only each other, but really, Tim, drawing on what you've just said, listening to the landscape and the seascape as well to inform the work that we've been doing through the project, and really having that flexibility built into the Diverse Marine Values project to allow for that responsiveness to happen. I think that the photo essay is really one way that we've seen that happen. If anybody's interested in knowing more about the exhibition or about the photo essay, we'll be popping the links to the exhibition guide and to the photo essay in the show notes. Thank you both so much for your time. It's been wonderful to speak to you both.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us. If you're interested to learn more about the Diverse Marine Values Project, please visit our website, which we'll link in the show notes, and tune in again for the next episode in this podcast series.
The Sustainable Management of UK Marine Resources Programme is funded by the Natural Environment Research Council and the Economic and Social Research Council. The Diverse Marine Values Project is one of six projects funded to explore new ways of forging partnerships and approaches to marine management in the UK. For further details, please visit the SMMR website.